radio show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. Now, I start to sound like a preacher up here. Got that from a pop. The mission of the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we do this with business development, job creation, and service. It takes all three of these to get this economic wheel rolling. I'd like to welcome all of the new listeners and all of the entrepreneurs and business owners out there, as well as those who have regular jobs and nine-to-fivers, those who don't even have a job, those who are trying to find their way. But I must admit, I do have a sweet spot for the entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs have a hard job. This is not easy. I don't care what anybody told you. If you quit that job saying, I'm going to go start a business so I can be on Easy Street, I have some information for you. This is not for the faint of heart. And another reason I like to send out love to the business owners, to the entrepreneurs, to the small businesses. Some people start a business with the idea of trying to be the next Mark Zuckerberg or the next Bob Johnson or the next Oprah. They have these lofty aspirations. But the vast majority of small business owners are just regular folks that's trying to pay their rent, put their kids through school, survive. They were fed up with the system, fed up with being kicked around, fed up with being passed over for promotions. And that is the vast majority of the small business owners. They're not trying to take over the world. They're trying to eat. They're trying to live. And that is the vast majority of the people in my listening audience who I have struck a chord with. And I want you to know I am your advocate. I am in there, right in there with you. We might not build the next billion-dollar app. We might not be bought out by Bill Gates or Zuckerberg or Google or whomever. We're just trying to get through the day, leave something behind, and set an example for a new generation of entrepreneurs. It's going to take that. It's going to take that to get where we're trying to get to and stop being beholden to other people. Even if you don't make that billion or that million, the fact that you're out here doing it on your own, building your own, I have mad love for you, and you can call me any day of the week, and I will share what little knowledge I have in this big head of mine to help make your dreams a reality. This is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. If you'd like to join in the discussion today, call us at 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. I also have in the studio Mr. James Silver, Mr. Computer Technology Guru himself. Good morning, James.
Good morning, everyone.
So, James, you've been joining us now on the second Friday of every month for the past almost a year now. And what are you going to bring us today? You've been bringing us this information on... I mean, I love your segments because it's so needed. We're in this technological age, and if you're not on top of things, man, you could, it's all kind of eels out there and traps waiting on you.
Well, today I want to talk about technology and where we've come from and where I see where it's going and how we're going to use this in our business.
Wow, where it's come from? From those big Wang, those big computer
things. Oh, yeah. They used to take up a whole room.
A whole room, right. A
whole room just to do a little computer processing. But today we got more power now. I like to say we got more power in the palm of our hands, computer power, than they used to go to the moon. And that's amazing.
Wow.
Computer power that we have in our hands. And many of us are not taking advantage of what we do have right in the palm of our hands.
Wow. Well, I am looking forward to your segment. And... because you always bring it, and that's why we have to take this holistic approach here on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We try to tackle it from every angle because, as a business owner, you can't just focus on one thing and one thing alone. We say, well, it's important to get customers, and you hear the name Marketing Pulpit, and you think, so, wow, that's what is that? What is marketing? Well, the show is more about marketing. People sometimes ask me, what, Robert, what are you? What's your role? What's your title? Well, I call myself a marketing, branding, advertising, sales, customer service, web, social media, business development specialist. That's a long title, but I'm telling you, it takes all of that to encompass all the things that I do and all of the things that we bring to this show. Now, I can't do it alone, so I have to go out and bring in and bring in some talent like James, like my co-host, William Maxwell and Alina Seven. And on we have Philosophy Day comes in on the third Friday, bring us tax and accounting tips. And then we have Miss Charette Gordon coming in on the fourth Friday, bringing us all this information on how to optimize our business with systems. So we try to make sure that as we tackle the challenges and opportunities that are facing our entrepreneurs, that we leave no stone unturned. And of course, we bring in guests. We have a great lineup of guests. Last week we had Mr. Rodney Borden, who's an author and singer and all around intriguing guy. And you can go to marketingpulpit.com. On the homepage, you can follow us. You can find out what the show is going to be about. Afterwards, we have the podcast of the show, of the past shows. You can find out about the guests, the hosts, and everything that's going on. Also, go to marketingpulpit.com and go to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/marketingpulpit. You can also go to twitter.com/marketingpulpit and find up and tweet us. Like us, follow us, and we will keep you entrepreneurs and business owners in the know. Just know, I am your advocate. I am one of you. And so we just tune in every Friday and make sure you stay abreast, and so that we can give you that big collective hug. We also have in the studio Miss Alina Seven. Good morning,
yes,
Alina.
Yes, how are you?
Alina Seven is also one of these folks out here. She's one of us. I've watched her grow and maneuver and meander through this business development process.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about it, right? I mean, whether it's my fitness business or my sports, I mean, it's like, you know. And the NABJ was here last week. Did you participate, Ron?
The who?
The NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists.
Oh, no.
Conference was here last week.
No, I was very aware of it. I did not participate. But I was very aware of it. Did you get some,
Oh, yes. It was wonderful. I mean, I try to participate when it's close, when it's too far. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, but last week it was excellent. It was excellent. Everybody was here. So, you know, great opportunities. In fact, I've increased my opportunity. So I'll be writing more and more, but okay. Other than that, you know, so look out for some new stuff that I'm doing, some new MBA stuff I'm doing, lots of things going on just from, you know, last week. That's what I'm saying. It's a huge networking opportunity, so I look forward to, okay. You know, just continuing to grow like you talk about each and every week, and I'm glad to be in the studio. My son has been in summer school most of the summer, so he's done, and I'm back to my life again.
Welcome back. Well, see, Lena Salmon, you are the poster boy, the poster child. Well, you're not a boy, the poster child of what a typical small business owner has to go through. You're trying to maintain, in many cases, a job on the side that has some steady income. We're trying to create a business that's viable, that's going to grow into something that we can leave for our children, the next generation. But then we have life we have to deal with. We have children we have to drop off at daycare, take to school, babysit, drive them.
I'm still in the mommy business.
I'm in the granddaddy business.
Yeah. But see, guys, let me tell you something.
You in the college business. I think that's the best business to be in, though, because you get kind of like your life back, though.
Yes, yes, yes.
Robert, come on now.
As long as she's writing the checks, right?
I have a daughter. She's at American University. She's home for the summer, and she's just finished up an internship. But being a business owner affords me things that I could never get by being an employee. I always say this, folks, I don't knock people who are employees, because I was an employee for half of my adult life myself. It allowed me to get the skills and the know-how that allowed me to go out and become a successful business owner. So all you folks who are out there thinking I'm hating on business, on employees, people who are working, that is not the case. I say mad love to you too. But boy, I'm telling you, but when it comes to business owners who've taken that plunge, like James and Elena Salvin, myself, William, and the other hosts. It's a different world. It's a different world. And so that's why this show, that's why I created this show, so that you have a voice, a forum, a place that you can listen to, a place that you can vent, a place you can call in, a place you can get information. And so that's why we're here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. I've been watching the Olympics.
Oh, gosh.
I'm excited about that.
Incredible or what?
We had another Simone.
Simone Manuals. Well, woo, she's powerful.
I mean, I was sitting there half watching because...
Simone Biles and Simone Manuel.
I mean, like, who watches swimming, right? Except, you know, I'm going to let you into that world. So I'm just sitting there kind of halfway waiting on the gymnastics to come on, and right. The swimming was taking place. And I heard the announcer, like, he was going crazy. And coming out of nowhere, here's come Simone. I said, Simone, wait a minute. That's the gymnast. How'd she get up down in the pool?
This is Simone.
It was another Simone.
It's another one. It's two Simone.
I said, man, this Simone has more skill than I had given her credit for. Now she's jumping in the swimming pool. But it was a different Simone.
Right.
And here she comes and ties and wins the gold out of nowhere.
And by the way, we haven't even seen track and field yet.
Oh, my
God. that's another amazing. That's another level of Olympics getting ready to kick off this weekend.
This weekend is going to be
yes,
exciting.
Yes, track and field. So
yeah,
I love it.
And they're giving our girl all kind of, they're beating up on, what's her name, Gabby. Man, Gabby, you think she's trying to get some attention? First they beat, or they picking on her. First, there was the thing about not putting her hand over her heart during this national anthem. And I'm not mad at her over that. Shoot, I mean, put your hand wherever you want to. And then last night when the ladies had won their gold, everybody was standing up cheering, and she continued to sit down. And now Twitter's beating her up over that. I mean, Gabby? What's going on with Gabby? Are people just picking on her, or are these legitimate complaints?
They didn't pick on those white girls, did they?
Well,
I don't, I mean, you know, whether it's a color thing, I don't know. But I'm just saying that I think that Gabby Douglas, she's been through it before. And so I think that it's a certain type of familiarity with the whole process that is doing her in. And somebody needs to tell her there are certain
protocols
that you must follow.
But you know what?
And it doesn't matter whether it's a black issue or a white issue.
I think it's going to come down to an economic issue. If she wants those sponsorships, if she wants
Yeah, because let me tell you, Nancy Kerrigan, long, long time ago, remember, and she's white, but she was an ice skater, and they brought her down to Disney. Now, she was the most beloved girl in the world because her partner hit her in her knee.
Right.
Remember, they came
like,
behind
why,
and they tried
why?
To break her knee. Anyway, well, she was so beloved, and then she went down to Disney, and what did she do? The microphone picked up, and she kept going, I hate this.
All
and
right.
That was the end of her career.
All right, Lena Sam, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to Lena Sam, What's the Word? This is the Marketing Prophet. We'll be right back after the break.
1450.
Good morning, it's W.O.
Next thing you should have
to the people, for God's sake.
Why don't you
give no power to the people?
All right, this is the Marketing Pulpit. I am Robert Gatewood, your host, and we are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. Go to marketingpulpit.com and follow our goings on and happenings and so forth. I have in the studio Mr. James Silver and Alina Seven. We're talking about the Olympics and a lot of other things that are going on. But go to Marketing Pulpit. Stay abreast of what's going on. Later in the show, we're going to talk about why your competition is going to beat you like a drum. No matter what you do, there are certain things that just the competition is still going to beat you. Now, I'm going to give you some tips on how you can mitigate or lessen or ameliorate or reduce the effects. But there are just certain things that your competition is going to beat you doing. And I'm going to tell you what those things are. And some of those things are beyond your control and some are not. So you want to stay tuned to that coming up at 11:15 hour on why the competition is beating you like a drum and what you need to do about it. We're going to get to Alina Seven and What's the Word. Alina Seven?
Yes.
Welcome back to the studio. And what's going on?
Thank
you.
What's the Word? Glad to be back. Well, I thought about it and I said, you know, everyone is really been trying to get into shape.
Yes.
And so I'm working with all these different people, right? And I have this family that I'm working with, mm-hmm. and they are all trying to get into shape. And I mean, from the mother down to the 11-year-old. There's like about the 5 or 6 of them. Yes.
The baby?
Yes. Okay. Even the baby. Yes.
The baby fat.
Uh-oh. Yes.
Wait a second. You know, slow.
I mean, not that, but she's just...
She's a little chunky.
She's chunky. Yeah, and she's such a sweetie, and I so adore her, and I'm really working with her. But I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to present this plan on the radio so that people might be able to take this with them.
Okay.
And it's just a running plan or a walking with running plan that is proven to be effective. These people that I'm working with have lost a ton of weight just by using this method. So okay. I wanted to present the method today because,
please.
You know, so if you have a paper and pen, you guys should write this down, okay?
All right.
So basically, it is a running program. You could do this walking, but I would definitely recommend walk and run with it as much as you can, okay? So basically, if you're on a treadmill.
Well.
Okay? So the first... 0 to 5 minutes, mm-hmm. okay? Go, you're probably going to have to walk this. Walk at a speed of 4 miles per hour, okay? Put a 2.5% incline on the treadmill, okay? Because a lot of times we tell people, go and do the treadmill, but we don't tell them exact detail.
So the incline, it's like you're going uphill.
Like you're going up a hill,
okay?
So the beginning 0 to 5 minutes, that's your warm up, okay? You're going at 4 miles per hour. That's not that much of speed, but it's enough to challenge you. 2.5% incline. That's your warm up, okay? Then 5 to 6 minutes, that's 1 minute. 1 minute. You increase the speed by 1 point, 5 miles per hour,
okay?
And you bring the incline down to 1%. Okay, but you got to run at 5%, okay, 5 miles per hour, excuse me. Then you go from 6 to 7 minutes. Now you're traveling at 6 miles per hour for 1 minute, okay? Then you go from 7 to 8 minutes. You bring it back down to 5 minutes per mile, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, five miles per hour. Then you go from 8 to 9. That's 1 minute, okay? Now you're traveling at, now you're running at 6.5 miles per hour. Now that's fast.
Can I run that fast?
You can run six for 1 minute.
For a minute.
For 1 minute.
Wait, you got
it. Okay?
You got anything like
so
a half
you're
a minute,
increasing
maybe?
It. Now you've gone.
Maybe?
No, you've gone from 4 miles per hour all the way to 6.5. This is what I do with some of my clients.
Can I do like a bicycle and.
No, you cannot. You got to follow this. I'm telling you, this works.
All
this
right,
works,
right.
Okay? Then from 9 minutes to 10 minutes, now you're traveling on the treadmill, okay? You're now at 9 minutes, okay? From 9 minutes to 10 minutes, you bring it back down to 4 miles per hour just for 1 minute. So you catch your breather, okay? Then from 10 minutes to 11 minutes, okay, these are just 1 minute increments, okay? Then you increase it back up to 6.5 miles per hour.
Wow, that's running.
That's running, okay? Then 11 to 12, you bring it back down to 5, okay? Then from 12 to 13 minutes, you bring it to 7 miles per hour. But it's 1 minute increments. Okay, then you bring it back down to 5. Everything is 1 minute all the way to 30 minutes on the treadmill. Everything is 1 minute increments. So you go from 7 miles per hour, 1 minute, you're at 12 minutes. Then you're at 13, you bring it back down to 5. Then at 14, bring it back up to 7.5. Then at 15, bring it back down to 4 miles per hour. That's your breather. So at 15 minutes. Now you've been on the treadmill 15 minutes. Now you can do this and walk it as well if you cannot run this.
Hey, you
but you got to walk fast.
You're giving us a lot of numbers. I hope you got this.
No. I do. But it's only going from 4 miles per hour. The most that you go is 7 miles per hour. You're just varying the degrees by 1 point.
What time it is?
4 miles per hour, and the highest you go is 7 miles per hour. But you are, and you're changing it every minute. The only time you don't change it is from 0 to 5 minutes, because that's your warm up. So you're doing that at 2.2%, right, of an incline, for just 5 minutes. That's it. And then you bring the incline down, and then you're increasing the speed. You're going from 4 miles per hour to 7, then you bring it back down to 5, then you go back down to 4, and you bring it back up 5, 6, 7 minutes per hour, miles per hour, then you bring it back down to 4.
Hey, James, are you getting this?
I'm lost.
You're still lost. But you're increasing it just one minute at a time.
One minute at a time. It's making a lot of sense to you. Us regular folks over here who've never even been here.
Did you get it, Alonzo? Please tell me you got it. Right, you got it. Okay.
I do understand. She's just varying the speed and the
going up and down.
Up and down. And that's going to raise and lower the heart rate.
It's going to raise and lower the heart rate.
Give us the benefit. How about that?
So the benefit, when you increase, okay, when you increase your heart rate and then you bring it back down, then you increase it back up, each and every time that your body increases its heart rate and it brings it back down, do you know how much work that requires?
To get your heart to go up and down?
To get your heart to go up and down.
I can do that by coming up and just scaring you.
No, it won't work because you're not generating enough sustained energy.
Okay.
That's why watching a scary movie is not going to... You'll burn some calories, but you're not going to burn the amount.
Halloween 3 and get the same result. Huh?
Let me tell you, this exercise pattern for just 30 minutes... Okay, we'll burn about 700 calories.
Wow.
Okay?
That's a whole peach cobbler.
That's a whole piece of a peach cobbler. I'm trying to get people to understand that just don't go on the treadmill and run for 30 minutes and stay at a 4.8%, 4.7% and just keep it there. That's what I'm saying. You want to bring it up and down, up and down, up and down, because it's the up and down factor that is going to cause you to burn.
You go into your
fat burning zone. And everybody knows the fat burning zone, don't you? Remember I told you, take your age from 220, subtract your age from 220, and...
That'd be zero. Wait a minute, 220.
Subtract your age from 220. What is that, Robert?
Oh, that's going to be...
What is it?
220 from 220. That's going to leave about 100 and...
What?
100. About 100. I'm 120 years old, so... Hey, I've been doing a lot of working out. Okay?
120.
Hey. Don't let this black hair fool you.
That's like 100.
Y'all heard of a Grecian
formula?
I
wouldn't be living. Come on, Robin. If it's 170, 160, then you know that 80% of that, 85, you need to be in the 85% of that number. That means that if it's 165, then you need to be somewhere between 145, 155 to be in your maximum fat burning zone.
All right, now
you get that?
That
means that the maximum amount of fat that your body will burn is if you take your heart and you sustain it at that heart rate level.
Okay.
That means a lot of huffing and puffing. You get it? So if you can kind of work out and when you're working up and down like that on a treadmill, you will get to that point. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
You get it?
I'm getting it.
You gotta work out in that zone, because otherwise you're not gonna burn, and then that means that's the difference between burning the little bit of fat that you may have on your stomach versus just sustaining yourself. And that's why when people go into the gym, they work out and they go, God, I don't see any changes. Well, that's why, because they never work in their zone. They're not reaching their fat burning zone.
Isn't all of working out about tension levels? Like if I go and do 50 push-ups every night and just keep doing the same 50 without increasing the difficulty, or eventually it's going to lose its effectiveness.
It's going to lose its effectiveness because all of our bodies reach plateaus.
So I need to increase.
So you have to increase.
Somebody stand on my back or...
Yes, but let me just tell you something. If you do 50 push-ups every night, your body is going to respond to that, and it will get into some sort of shape from that. I don't want you to think that all of a sudden you do 50 push-ups every single night and your body's not going to respond to that. It will respond to it, but then after a while, once it responds to it, it'll sustain at that level, and then you have to do something else if you want to make other changes.
All right, Elena Sam. So, thanks, Elena Sam.
All right, that's a really good workout. Hope everybody tries it. 1 minute increments, changes, up and down, up and down.
All right, that's Elena Sam. Ladies and gentlemen, go to elenasam.com, follow her. We're going to come back with James Silver, going to give us some computer and technology tips. And later in the show, ways the competition is beating you like a drum. Marketing Pulpit will be right back after the break.
1450.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. I have the studio, Alina Seven.
Yes, right here.
And James Silver.
All right, now.
We're rocking and rolling over here. I'd like to thank our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites. If you're looking for a place to hang your business hat, I told you entrepreneurs out there, I'm feeling the love for you today. Call me your advocate. Sometimes you need that big group collective hug. And I'd like to also thank the other hosts we have. We have Mr. Dennis Shipman out in New York. We have Ms. Sharon Bennett in Charlotte. We have the sports show on Saturday. We have the disability show on Friday. And we have our good friends in Houston, Texas, Dr. Florida Bell Griffin and Leon Gatewood out of Waysburg, North Carolina. And want to show them some love. Go to marketingpulpit.com and find the listening time for their shows. You can get them on Blog Talk Radio. And as I was saying about BLE Executive Suites, Ms. Bernadette Clay, if you have a business and you're trying to put your best foot forward, there's the four P's of marketing. There's product, there's place, there's pricing, there's promotion. But place is one of the biggies. You have to put you have to look like you're in business. That's the bottom line. I do not want to do business with somebody who every time I see them, they meet me at the McDonald's or in the trunk of their car. They say, come on, meet me here behind there. I got my contract out here in the trunk. Are you sitting out there in the car? They don't have any AC. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not a snob or anything. But I want to feel like you are a legitimate company. I'm sorry. Call me a snob if you want to. The problem is, I know that there are solutions that you can do better that don't cost you any money or a lot of money. Places like BLE Executive Suites, they can rent you an office by the hour. Somebody there answering when the person comes in, there's somebody greeting them, answering the phone. They're even giving you coffee while the person is waiting. Take you in one of those nice, luxurious conference rooms. And all you have to do is just sign up and get on one of their affordable plans, and you can have that conference room as once a week, once a month, every day, depending on your budget and the type of client you're trying to get. There is no excuse for me having to meet you out in the parking lot on a 99-degree day saying, here's an orange soda. That's not the same. Hey, man, I brought you an orange soda, man. I know it's hot. No, bro, I'm sorry. That is not going to do it for home here, for this homie. Anyway, call BLE Suites at 301-322-1700, 301-322-1700, or go to BLESuites.com. Later in the show, I'm going to tell you why your competition is beating the pants off you. And you're saying, wait a minute, Gatewood, why you being so negative? They're not beating me. You might not think that. But let me tell you something, folks. They got something up there that you don't have. And I'm going to tell you why you just, no matter how good you are, no matter how many times you decided to improve your product, you decided to send out these flyers, you've done everything in your God-given talent to do, and you still can't beat the competition. I'm going to tell you why. We're going to do that in the next segment. But for now, we have James Silver. And he's going to tell us about this technology. He's saying where we've been, where we're going, where we are now. I remember not too long ago. See, I'm one of these old school games. I've seen all of the cycles. I remember when computers would take up this whole side of the building.
Yes.
And that was just to print out a document.
Just to print out a document.
Tell us, James, where we been, where we going, where are we now?
Well, good you should ask that question. I was recently reading an article, and it was talking about where are we going for the next 20 years? Mm. And I watched my grandchild over the summer here, and all she was doing all summer was on her iPhone or on her phone, just all summer. I think about where is going to be when she is, she's 16 now, when she's 26 or when she's 36. What is it going to be look like? What is technology going to look like? So I decided to say, let me look at where I've come from.
Okay.
I was one of those who, in the 70s, I grew up in the 70s, and we didn't have computers. Our computers was the typewriter. And then when I got into the 80s.
I was about to say a typewriter.
When I started typing my college papers, when I had to go to college, I had to type papers. If I made mistakes, I had to start all over.
All over again.
You know? Use whiteout.
And then the teachers rejected because I got all this whiteout on it. But we would come for a long ways. In the 80s, when I first started getting into computers, my first computer was a Texas Instrument TI-99-4A. I remember the model of the computer.
I remember.
Hooked up to a television.
The
television was the monitor. The data source was a cassette tape player that I hooked up to it to save the data on. That's where I came from. And so I've watched technology over the last 30 years, to see where we've come from.
IBM was after that, though, right?
IBM was before that.
Okay.
And what Rob was talking about, the IBM 360, which these machines would take up the whole room.
Room, right.
We have more power today in the palms of our hands, computer power, than they used to go to the moon. Think about that.
Awesome.
And the problem I find is so many business owners today are not taking advantage of what we have in the palms of our hands. Mm. They're using it to make phone calls and get text messages and take pictures. But this phone does so much more. So just to give you an idea where we come from. We came through all those years, those big beige boxes for the big monitors that took up the whole desk, you know.
Right.
And now we're looking at things that would take up just a small area on your desktop now, the tablets. So I see in 5 years, PCs going away as we know them. Mm. Mm. As we know them today, PCs are going away.
Desktops gone.
Desktops are gone.
Because the simple
fact of the decreasing sales. We noticed that the prices of desktops have gone tremendously down.
Yes.
Because that means the sales are very low. So they're trying to get these boxes sold.
Right. Mm-hmm. Trying to get the inventory out.
Trying to get this inventory out. But the consumer says, I don't want this big box anymore. I want something that I can work in the park. I can go to BLE and work in the office.
I could just be in my bed.
I could be in my bed. I can be still working. So we're not tied to necessarily to that monitor, that PC, the keyboard on it. And I see things going away. So I see 5 years from now that we're going to have the flat screen televisions where we can sit there and do everything by hand motions and just interact with the TV with an interaction. Just by looking at it, by blinking, by making gestures with our hands, that we will be able to interact with that computer.
But you know what? This is something that I was waiting on for many years, and it's finally here, that smart TV.
Yeah.
Where you was like, you had a TV and a monitor sitting there about the same size looking at each other. So wait a minute, why can't these things work? So now they have the smart TV where it actually has internet connection.
Right.
So that's
But you know what, though? The only issue I have is that the technology, that's great, that's wonderful. But what happens, and I know you're not going to know about this, James, because you're not in my industry as much as I am. But now what's happening is that they want to now pay people $20,000 a year, but they want you to write, produce, edit, direct, anchor, report. They want you to do everything. I'm saying, as a sports reporter,
right.
They want me to go out, use the big camera, go shoot it myself, go edit it, go write it, report, be on camera, look good, and I'll pay you $20,000, and you've just replaced about, what, four people's jobs, right, Alonzo?
Yeah, is that a year or a day?
That's every day.
$20,000 a day.
$20,000. And I posted it because I saw somebody put it up. I posted it on Instagram. And I said, technology is great. But what's happening is that our industries are changing so much that people are not getting paid properly. And we're also replacing jobs, which means that everybody now has to carry like 10 different hats. And then you just don't get paid anymore. And it's like, where do we go? Where's our industry going?
It sounds like you're supporting what James is saying.
Because if you're not
on top of this technology, and that's really going to be one of the things I'm going to talk about in why the competition is beating you to death. If you're not keeping up with what James is saying, now that's, I know they should pay you more. I agree with that. But what you're saying is making a case for why you should be further and further in that world. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in.
No, because this man told me last week, he's from North Raleigh, Raleigh-Durham area, and he said, Alina, I would love to hire you as my sports anchor on the weekends, but I need you to write, shoot, edit, produce. He listed like 10 different things and then drive down to Raleigh every weekend. And I said, you know what? I mean, we couldn't agree to some terms, so I just was like, no, I can't do it. But I'm just saying, it was just such low money on top of that for 10 different jobs, Robert. How do we balance the change of our industry, which is great, but it's putting more jobs on people and more responsibility, but it's no more money. Can we get more money with the industry changes?
Can we do that?
Well, the whole point of this is so that as a business owner, they can lower their operating costs. And they can lower their operating costs and hire somebody to do the job that do four or five different jobs. Why would I pay them more money? I mean, because the technology here we have there will allow them to be any place and do that job.
Business and technology will continue to displace workers. That is just the way of the world.
Give you a perfect example. McDonald's now are having kiosks in the McDonald's now where they can go in there and punch in, order your meals, get and pay for it, and get rid of the person. All you have to do is have somebody to fill the orders. All you need is somebody who's filled the orders. That's where we're going. So those low skilled jobs, you're gonna have to get more skills in order to get, you know, if you want to get more money.
But William, Jane, can they program the computer to ignore you though?
No, we're gonna miss that. I mean, I guess they could do that if they wanted to.
That's what I'm saying.
But think about it. By having that kiosk, I don't have to deal with that. That slobby attitude. The attitude I get from those people.
Give them time. Yeah, programming in there.
You know, but it could.
I mean, it's one thing for the industry to change, and it's great and it's wonderful. But we need to all have conversations about the fact that where are all of our people gonna go? If we're replacing
you need to improve those skill levels. You got to improve those skill levels. Because if you don't improve those skill levels,
or have a business that keeps you in demand.
That $20,000 job you talk about, but you could be working for four or five different companies and get you that six figures because you're working for this company and you're working for that company, and you're still making a good decent money if you're working for different people at the same time.
If you were
an independent contractor, that's the way you have to think about it.
And that's the way you have to think too. You have to create systems so you can be doing this over multiple platforms. You're doing it for the people in North Carolina, the people in Virginia, the people in Rhode Island.
Yes.
And so you're duplicating these efforts. You do it one time, but you get paid for it multiple times. And that's one of the ways that technology can advance you.
Yes.
Okay, well, man, those are kind of things I see going on in the future. I look back and look at Star Trek, and I looked at Star Trek from the 60s. They were so far advanced of what, you know, they showed you technologies of the 2000s. Mm-hmm. They had flat screen TVs. They had tablets. They had communicators, which were like our smartphones. So just a peep into the future. And that man, they had no idea what he was showing us 40 years ago, 1960s. I mean, it was just amazing, the technology that we have today and where we're going with that. And this is going to be amazing to see that technologies into my 60s, into my 70s. You know, it's going
to
be amazing.
So you mean I'll be living like the Jetsons soon?
Think about that. Even the Jetsons world, even they showed you where we're going. even where we're going. So, business owners, stay abreast of the technologies that are, that you use. The technologies in your hands to make your business a lot easier. Learn more applications. There are more applications been written for smart devices, i.e., iPads and smartphones than the PC itself. So use that smart technology to enhance what you do in your business.
James, that is great information. Let people know how you can contact you and help them with those solutions you put out there on the table.
Okay, you can reach me at james@jesilver.com. That's James, J-A-M-E-S, at J-E-S-I-L-V-E-R.com. My website would be www.jesilver. You can reach me at 301-325-1709.
All right, thank you, James. When we come back, why the competition is beating the pants off of you? Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break.
Why don't you get 1450 WOL?
For God's sake.
Can't deny it.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses. Go to marketingpulpit.com, find out more about our goings on. Now, in spite of everything you do, there is still a good chance that you will lose to the competition. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but these are some undeniable competitive advantages that your competition holds sway over you that could actually doom a struggling business. And it creates barriers to entry for startups. Now, you say to yourself, but I'm working hard. I'm putting out a good product. I've done everything I should be doing. Why should I lose to the competition? Well, because the competition has some advantages that you may not be even aware of that they have over you. Do they have an exclusive to these advantages? No. But in many cases, these advantages could be your undoing. I'm going to give you 13 reasons the competition may be beating you. First one is advertising. Firms will make it increasingly difficult for you to gain market share because they are simply outspending you on advertising. They're using advertising as a weapon to really beat you into submission. Unless you can match them dollar for dollar on advertising, there's a good chance that your competition will continually beat you because they are outspending you on advertising. That's number one. Number two, your competition may just plain have more money than you do. They can outspend you in every turn, every place you turn around, everything you try to do. They have more money. They have more money for equipment, for employees, for staff, for location. So that's something that your competition may have over you, and you may or may not have a way to combat it. So first one is advertising. The second one is capital and money, access to capital. Number three, control of resources. Your competition may control the resources of a certain industry. No matter what you do, they may control those resources, and you don't have access to those resources. So as a competing company, they will always hold that advantage over you. Here's number four, customer loyalty. We call that goodwill. Many companies have been out here so long, they built a customer base that will be loyal to them no matter what you do. If you can't outspend them, if you can't come up with some new products to lure them back into your camp, that customer loyalty will be a constant harbinger hanging over your head and will cause your competition to continually beat you. Let's go to number four, distributor agreements. You may be going into an industry where the distributor agreements are basically already locked down. No matter what you do, it could be a good old boys network. It could be some type of arrangement that has passed from generation, from year to year. Those distributor agreements are in place, and it will take a monumental effort to undo those distributor agreements. Number six, supplier agreements. You think just because you hang up your shingle that you can go out here and buy supplies, whatever you like, whenever you like. It's not so, ladies and gentlemen. In certain industries, it is almost impossible to get the supplies you need. Or there's a lock, or there's a monopoly on the industry. Ask anybody in the hair industry. You cannot just walk out here and open up a hair shop tomorrow and have access to good hair. That hair has to go through a channel, and in some places, certain communities have that industry on lockdown. You simply cannot get the supplies you need to be competitive. Number seven, economies of scale. Economies of scale simply mean that large companies can spend less on goods and services because they buy more of them. you going into the store buying 10 to sell on the shelf where they bought 10,000. Of course, the unit cost goes down because they're buying more. You cannot beat them price for price because they have this thing called economies of scale working for them. It's not just product that applies to economies of scale. It's also labor. It's also venue. It's also location. Because they are larger, they are spending less on goods and services and products that it takes to run a business. Number 8, governmental regulations. Some industries require licenses and permits that the small business owner just cannot keep up with. So those government regulations may be rewarding large companies and punishing small companies. And that alone can sometimes keep you from being competitive in an industry where you're trying to make a foothold. Number 9, intellectual property. Certain companies have gone out and put patents on ideas. You thought it was a great idea. You were laying there in bed one night. You said, wow, I got a great idea. You run up, you hang up your little shingle, and guess what? It's an idea that's already been patented. You cannot compete. You're going to get that letter, that cease and desist letter saying, stop using my idea. They may not have even started it yet, but you did not do the search, and you are actually infringing on somebody's patent. So, intellectual property. And a lot of small businesses that even get the idea first, they don't take the steps of protecting it. They're not doing the trademarking. They're not doing the copywriting. They're not doing the patent. And that's another way. Competition is continuing to beat the small business owner. Number 10, critical mass. Critical mass is a place where every business owner has to get eventually. That means you have to create enough interest in your business that you can actually make a living, that you can make money doing it. Big companies have already reached that point. You're trying to get there. So you find yourself struggling. You're doing 3 and 4 different jobs just to continue to pay your bills, to pay for your rent, to pay for your car because you have not reached critical mass. If you do not reach critical mass, if you do not reach a point where your business is self-sustaining, where the incoming customers are buying enough goods and services, your competition will continue to beat you, and they will beat you into the ground if you don't reach critical mass. Number 11, predatory pricing. Because I'm a big company and because I have such a monopoly on the business, I can actually price you out of business. I can lose money.
That's unfair.
It's unfair. That's why they call it predatory. And guess what? In some cases, it is downright illegal, but it's very difficult to prove. If you're a small business, you're trying to do the thing right, you're keeping your nose clean, a big company can actually come in town and outprice you and lose money and run you out of business because they have something that we call the freedom to abandon the market. In other words, they may be competing with you on your fitness services, but they're selling 10 other products and services. So they can lose money on fitness until you're gone, then right. They'll raise the prices back up. Actually, predatory pricing is illegal, but like I said, it's very difficult to prove. Number 12, research and development. Some products require a large upfront investment in technology, which deter small companies from even getting involved in the first place. Or the small company was come in and they weren't prepared. They didn't do the research. They didn't do the development. And now they have an inferior product, where the big companies have already done the research. They've already done the development. And if you're a small company trying to compete with a company that's well-researched and well-developed, you will find yourself on the short end of the stick. Number 13, education, experience, and expertise. Some companies have gone out and they've got the certifications. They've got the experience. They've got the experts. This can discourage small companies from coming on board because they're fighting against a behemoth. If you're not keeping up with that education, if you're not getting those certifications, if you're not getting that experience, then that competition will continually beat you into the ground. Now, I'll give you 13 reasons why your competition will beat you in certain areas. Now, you say to yourself, I'm a small company. I don't have all the money. I can't control resources. I don't have distributor agreements. I can't do economies of scale. I can't get critical mass tomorrow. I can't outprice the guy across the street. Let me tell you one thing, too. Do you know who your competition is? If I'm sitting here and I'm James and I'm thinking about I'm a computer guy, I'm thinking the competition may be the next computer guy across the street. But that's the primary competitor. There are secondary competitors like Walmart. These big guys who may offer several products, they may be competing against you indirectly, but not directly. So you have to fight not only your direct competition, you have to also fight the indirect. If you're in the diet food business, you think your competitor is Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Slim Fast. Guess what? Your competition is also the grocery store. The grocery store aisle is one of your biggest competitors, even though they are indirect competitors. So you have to look at all of these competitors when you're trying to decide, how do I go out here and make my business viable? Let's say you looked at all these things and I've made you very discouraged over here and disillusioned, but there is hope. I'm going to tell you three ways how you can today minimize, neutralize some of these barriers that I just laid out. The first one, find yourself a niche. Find yourself a niche, a piece of the market that you can own. Many people do not spend enough time thinking about this. We start into an industry and we're trying to reach everybody. We say, look, I want everybody in the industry. If we pick out a certain segment, in James' case, he may say, look, I'm going to go after businesses on a certain side of the river. I may have to go after a certain size business, 1 to 2 employees. This niche may be too small to worry about for a big company, but for a small startup company, that could be a very lucrative niche. Alina Seven may decide, look, I'm going to go after women who are almost ready to retire from the government, and they're starting to get ready for their second life. So she can carve out a niche of people, not trying to get everybody, but focus on this particular segment of the market. So niching is one way that you can actually combat the competitors. Another one, number two, knowledge. Keep getting knowledge. Keep getting knowledge. Do not feel like you have learned all you can learn, because the more you learn, the more you will learn about not only your competition, but your industry and how you can thwart their effort to put you out of business. And the third one, technology. Technology is the equalizer. You cannot go out here and set up 5 or 6 locations like the big guys, but guess what? Technology can put you anywhere in the world, but you have to stay on top of it. Folks, that's going to wrap up our sermon for today. These are reasons that your competition has beat you, but guess what, folks? It is doable. You can beat the competition, and if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing.
At the right time.
And you got to do it right. Enough talk, folks. Let's get to work.
1450 WOL.